Well, two Dubliners team up for our next selection of music here. Ronan Brown on pipes and Kevin Blacken on fiddle. Starting off with the Highland and then a couple of reels. The Cat That Kittled in Jamie's Wig. That's one that comes from Donegal. And certainly the reels are as well. The Errigal reel, first of all, and then the Black Mare of Thanet. great duet playing there from Ronan Brown and Kevin Blacken together. The Highlands, the cat that kittled in Jamie's wig, first of all, and then two reels, the Errigal reel and the Black Mare of Fannet. Well, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, this month marks the 10th anniversary of the death of Josie McDermott from Coolmean in County Sligo. Josie was a flute and whistle player, saxophonist, singer, tune and songmaker, and many other talents besides that. As I said, he died 10 years ago this month, and about 4 years before that, back in 1988, Peter Brown, our producer here, met up with Josie McDermott in the RTE studios in Sligo, and Josie performed, sang and played some tunes and did some lilting, and also chatted to Peter for that recording back in 1988. And for the rest of tonight's programme, we're going to listen to that recording with Josie McDermott, and he starts off with a selection of tunes on the flute.
Two reels played by Josie McDermott of Coolmean in County Sligo. Josie, you're welcome.
Thanks, Peter.
What were those two tunes now?
The Mountain Top, and I called the other one the Tailor's Thimble. But I'm not sure if that's the name now or not. That's what we used to call it up our country, and all the old musicians used to call it the Tailor's Thimble.
And can you remember who you got it off?
I got them tunes from a flute player neighbour of mine, Jimmy Younes. He used to play. I used to play an awful lot of him in the few rambling houses that we used to go to. We used to have sessions. And in the house of Jim Dunner and Kilmactranny, and in the house of neighbour of my own, Butler, where I had the music, the first music ever I held.
Well, when I said there that you're from the townland of Coolmean, where exactly is that now?
Well, it's about 3/4 of a mile off the Roscommon border. And it's about a mile and a half, I'd say, from, or less, from Ballyfernan, as the crow flies. To go the road now, it would be about 2 miles and a half. But across the fields, that I used to travel all this to Ballyfernan for years, it's only about a mile or mile and a quarter, mile and a half.
But it's actually in County Sligo?
I'm in County Sligo, yes, about 3/4 of a mile in from the mayor of the county.
But you never have any divided loyalties now?
Well, no. Oh, geez, no, I'd be a Roscommon man as often as I'd be a Sligo man, or even more so.
Is it a good area for music, that?
It is, mind you know. There's not as many musicians in it now as there used to be. When I was growing up, there was a lot of great musicians in it. In the area now, taking from Kilmactranny or around Givan, four or five miles around. Then, of course, when you just go up to South Killevel and the Cormac country, you know, there was an awful lot of musicians up there. But around the Kilmac area, I was counting the fiddlers one time, and good and bad, you know, there was about 15 or 16 that used to play the fiddle reasonably well.
And that home you were mentioning, Butler, that's close to you, that's where you first heard?
That's where I first heard the music. It'd be about 200 yards away from my house. And when I was able to crawl out to the gable of the house, I could hear the music. And if the door was open, you'd hear the people pounding their feet, you know, with the tack boots and the fiddle players and flute players. And I used to be in an awful, I thought I never would be big enough to be let out to Butler for rampant.
And how old were you then?
I'd be only 3 or 4 years when I heard the music first. It was going on all the time while they lived. They died, Tom Butler died, and he was a grand fiddle player. He died in 1955, and his sister Maggie died about 51 or 52. She used to play the accordion. And there was an old, her dear mother, she was a great lilter. And she, in fact, I heard her lilting two tunes. And I didn't hear them again. I used to, I'll happen to that story. It was two old women that was spitting potatoes. And I fell, and they took me in. I was outside the house playing, and I fell into the jam pots, and they took me in, and I had a cut hand or something, or started lint and tunes for me. And I never forgot them. And in years after, when I had the Chieftains recording, there were two of O'Carolan tunes, thanks to Bumper Squire Jones and thanks to Connor. And they used to lilt, those Dowling men used to lilt those tunes for double jigs.
Well, since you're talking about lilting, I know that that's a thing that you do very well, so maybe, would you give us one now?
What? Well, I'll try, but I interview you again, neither I'd be able to continue with it. You wouldn't need a spot now to think which you know that I'd be able to do with an old thing.
You are well able to do it, you know.
God, I never thought about that, no.
You were talking there about the Coleman country. I suppose Michael Coleman, though, was before your time.
He was, but he had a great influence on everyone around my country. Now, the man that taught me how to play, James Flynn, he was a great fan of Michael Coleman's, and he used to have all his records, and he played all Coleman's music, and I was greatly taken with Coleman's ornamentation. I thought it was beautiful.
But he would have been young enough when he left.
Oh, he would. He must be only about 20 years or 21 years when he left. I'm not so sure about that, but he was only in the 20s anyway. The very early 20s. Because I knew a fella, and a man, he was an old man, in fact, and he lived down beside an aunt of mine at Riverstown, in County Sligo, Ned Killeen. Ned Killeen was a very good fiddle player, though he was going off it now when I met him. He was over 70, and he was the singer's person as good as he used to be, because he was a hard working man all his life. And he told me that he played with Coleman, you know, in sessions and houses, and there was a Flynn's at Lacca, and they used to congregate there. And he told me that they played there, and he saw there was another old fiddle player. I don't know if you've had him or not, Peter. He was called Pat Coyle. Mm-hmm. He was before Coleman's time, and Pat Coyle used to visit his Flynn's, and that was sort of the reason he used to have these sessions here, to meet Coyle and to hear him play. And Peter told me that he had them play a tune called Highland Mary. Now I don't know what that tune is, but he said that it was he that sort of inspired Coleman, because he said he had that same touch as Coleman, but that was a wonderful piece, and he only played half the tune, and he saw somebody, he was kind of contrary, and he saw somebody that he didn't like, and he wouldn't play anymore. And he told me that they were all as good as other, you know, they didn't, Michael Coleman wasn't at that time any better than any of the rest of them. There was a whole lot of them, John Brennan and the Burns and Lad Burns and Martin Wynne and all them fellas. He said that they were equally just as good now as, you know, as Michael Coleman. Since after Michael Coleman went to America, that he really touched up on his music.
And made all those records.
Yeah.
Well, did you listen to much of the records when they came back?
Oh, I did. I heard them all. We had them in the house. We had an old gramophone, and we heard them all in the house, you know.
Well, you even went as far as you were telling me to write a song about Coleman.
I did. I did a song about Michael Coleman years, or not long time ago. It was a funny way the way it came about, too. I had two verses made for about two or three years, and I never got around to doing any more of it. And I was going through Ballyfan, going to the bog for a load of turf. And a man, the post office came out and he told me there was a phone message from Ballymote, from Alfie Banks, to see if I'd play it or sing at a concert in Ballymote. This was on a Friday and the following Sunday.
Mm.
And I said to myself, on the way out to the bog, I had about 2 miles to go. And I said, wasn't it an awful pity that I didn't finish this song? There'd be a great place to launch it. And I filled my load of turf and set up on the load, and I had about 4 miles and a half to go to come through Ballyfair. And when I was at home, I had 12 verses of the song made. Well, I had made to the air down by Brooklyn Corner, you know, that fast air. I didn't know that much about traditional singing that much at the time. But anyhow, sometime after, I was going singing the song and had to change it and cut it down to size. You know, they didn't want the 12 vessels, and they have about 5 vessels over now, I think, or 6.
Is that what size it is now?
Mm.
But will you give us a couple of minutes?
I'll try it now. 'Twas in the county Sligo, near Bunnan town, once dwelled a great musician, a man of high renown. His name was Mighty Coleman, as you may understand, the master of the fiddlers throughout old Ireland. Like many of our Irish boys, he crossed the ridge in foam, and in far away America, this genius made his home. When the music lovers heard of him, they came from far and wide to hear this great musician that was known as Ireland's pride. At the world competition held in New York's City Hall, where all the great musicians assembled, one and all, when each nation's representative in his turn took the stand, the honor went to Coleman and to dear old Paddy's Land. When the great FitzChrysler heard of this, he came to hear him play. He said he was a genius in his own traditional way. The fame of Coleman quickly spread, as you may plainly see, and he was soon picked up by a recording company. But alas, this great performer no longer does survive. We regret to say he passed away in 1945. But we treasure still his music, for no matter where you roam, you can find a disc of Coleman's in every Irish home. But we have good musicians left in County Sligo still, from Gortsheen down to Geeva, and from Tubber to Sandhill, to meet those great musicians to Sligo pay a call. But the famous Mighty Coleman was the master of them all.
three reels there that I'd say maybe every musician in Ireland knows: the Tar Boat and the Longford Collector and the Sailor's Bonnet. And I suppose, do you like playing tunes, Josie, the same ones each time you play one? Do you like to follow it with the same one?
Yeah. I'm that kind of a habit, all right, you know. That's the way we learn them, and we try to play like that. In a session now, usually play the Longford Collection, we go on to the Sailor's Bonnet and all that.
And you were saying to me there as well that you'd heard recordings of Coleman when you were out in America that we never hear.
I did. I had them in the house. It was a tape, you know. There were a whole lot of them recorded on a tape. And I never heard them. And of course, I often heard that Coleman made a lot of records that never were sold in this country at all. I never came to it. Except they were posted home by someone that bought them, you know, and sent them home to friends. But I did hear selections that I couldn't tell you what they were now offhand, but there were different reels. I never heard Coleman playing them before, and I thought I had all his records. And they were great. Oh, they were great.
Did you like the guitar and the piano on them?
Yeah, I like the guitar, but I don't like the piano on them, because the piano sort of drowns them out. The pianists in them days, seems that in America where they were making them records, a lot of them pianists didn't know anything about Irish music or accompanying Irish music.
Sometimes not at all.
You know, it was awful.
Well, tell me this much now. When you were growing up, did you travel all around the place? Did you follow the music all
around? I did. I used to play in the dance band, and when I'd be off the dance band, even when we were playing in the dance band, I used to have the flute, and there was a fellow who used to play the fiddle with us. And we often had a session after the dance would be over, if we met someone. I remember having a session with Seamus Horan. You know Seamus down in Leitrim.
I do.
And we were playing down there, and Seamus was there, and he took the fiddle from the P. Condon, the Rothmere thing that used to play with me. And we had a great session in Ballinegare one night. Oh, it's way back. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say. And we used to be in touch with the music everywhere, and we'd make an arrangement in for a session, you know, and we'd go and have a round in someone's house. We used to, in the later years then, of course, we used to go an awful lot longer to sessions, and you know, you might hear there'd be a session somewhere in some pub when the stars are playing pubs. But the music that I'm talking about now, you wouldn't have it in pubs at all, to be in the country house. And that was the session I love. I first saw the session in around the fire, you know, with maybe four or five musicians or six.
You don't like the pub?
I'm not struck on the session in the pub, because you can't hear it right. There'd be so much noise, you know. Though I played in pubs for an awful lot, but when music is played over an amplifier, and especially if it's not wild tune, sure, it spoils it. And in the pub, it's very hard to get the sound right, you know, and all that kind of thing.
Well, of course, that was all now at night, I suppose. What work did you do during the day?
Well, I worked with the county council for years, and then I land permission. It was mostly now with the shuffle. And I was a helper on a lorry then for a few years with a contractor that lived beside me. And I was working up to 62, and I was working on a timber. And I got a timber rash, and it affected me. I never had great eyesight at any time, but it didn't affect me working. And in 1962, I got this timber rash, and it blinded me completely for about 2 or 3 months. I had nearly no sight at all. And when I got a bit better, then they sent me over to Galway. There's a Dr. O'Malley there, and he told me that I'd probably have sight as long as I'd live, that it'd get me around if I didn't get this rash. So he hoped that it might come back a bit, and it did return a little bit now, but not, you know, I could get around. I could cycle now in a kind of way, chancing in the air, you know, up to 67. But after that, it got too dangerous. Especially if I got kind of dark, or if I was going through a wood or anything. If I went into darkness and all of a sudden, I'd see nothing.
Well, they say that people who can't see, that they have maybe a better appreciation of all the things they hear.
Well, I suppose that's the reason now that I kind of went against going to hear a session in a pub, because I have to depend on me hearing, and if there's too much noise.
Yeah.
You know, and people comes up to you, and then, you know, they start talking to you, and you can't recognize the voice and everything, and it'll be frustrating at times.
But you'd hear more, maybe, than the person who can see.
Well, I don't know. I suppose you might. You'd be keener, I suppose. You'd be keyed up anyway.
And you'd have a better appreciation of the music,
well,
anyway.
You would.
Well, there was a competition recently for the Tolstall in Drumshambo for an air, and you put in for it. And
that's right.
You won it.
That's right.
Will you give us the tune?
I will. I'll play it on the old clef whistle now. It's a kind of a planks the other an old time waltz thing, you know.
Have you a name on that yet?
No, it's to be known as the Antosalier, and I didn't bother putting any name. I didn't put any name on it when I was sending it in for the competition.
It would be a sort of plainsty.
Yeah.
And this part of the world is the place where O'Carolan lived.
That's right, in Aldeford, outside Ballyfermline.
Is there much talk of him now?
Oh, there is. We have a festival up there in Cadia. I'm involved in it for years. And a door dancing competition. I do have to pay for that myself. Allowing an awful crowd, of course.
What type of competition?
A door dancing competition. You see, in the olden days, Peter, the mud wall, mud floors were in the old houses. When there'd be a metal, a crowd of men gathering in the hay or saving the turf or digging the spuds. They'd have a party that night in a quarter battle, a porter, or maybe a half battle. And they'd have the musicians and they'd be dancing, you know, sets and that kind of thing. So if there was any fellow that fancied doing a single turn, they'd take the door off the buckhorns and leave it down on the floor, because the old lesson floor was no good for doing a bit of timing on, you know. So they'd dance. You ran a dance on the floor. Well, if there was a few winning in, oftentimes it went into a competition, and there'd be a great rivalry if there was a few dancers in from different town lands, you know. And they'd often gather in from the know that there was a gathering, putting in the hay, and if there were certain houses that was noted for this kind of thing, and that come from other places, and they were all welcome, you know. And if there was a close competition, there'd be someone appointed as adjudicator, then somebody that knew something about dancing, maybe the oldish man in the house or the oldish woman. And if the competition was very tight, then that there'd be two, that they wouldn't know which of them was the best. They'd fill four glasses of porter and leave them one in each corner of the door. And the dancer went in and did his thing on the door, and his comrade went in, or his opponent went in and did the same, and whichever of them knocked the less amount drink out of the glasses was the winner.
Oh,
that's how they decided it. So they do have this in Cadia, but they do have glasses of water on the door to make it a colourful spectacle. They have it for everyone's dancing, you know, and some of them just leave a drop of water in the glasses.
I suppose with the price of porter, maybe there'd be a lot of wastage.
They should destroy the taste of it. You would usually use spring water, you know. But there's an awful interest in this. When the door dancing is on, everybody is looking for the door dancing, and they've all been packed.
Well, it's all in memory of O'Carroll.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And that's another one of your songs now, isn't it?
That's right, that's right.
About
I did one about O'Carroll and some years ago. Will I have a try at it?
Do.
Right. There are learned men who viewed the pin and wrote the praises high, but forgot the beauty spot that in North Roscommon lie. They overlooked Lochmilia's wooded banks and Kilronan's lovely dell, and the Keady Mountains looking down on Lothar's holy well. In bygone days the people came in thousands there to pray, to do a station round the well and to take away some clay. But the curse of immigration its evil work has done, and our grand old Irish customs are fading one by one. On the hill above the graveyard lies so peaceful to be seen, with its grand old ancient abbey overgrown with ivy green, where the blackbird, finch and linnet softly sing their serenade round that holy plot, that treasure spot where O'Carroll's bones are laid. On the road to Ballyfermin, as you slowly wind your way, you pass the house at Alderford where O'Carroll used to stay, where the music of his noble harp once echoed loud and shrill round that little town of high renown near the foot of Stanton Hill. As you journey on by Mullock Glass, you can visit Bridget's Well, where pilgrims came in days of your historians can tell, where a pattern was held each year with bands and banners gay, and thousands came to join the fun on each St. Patrick's Day. All you strangers who love scenery, just take a tip from me. Come down to North Roscommon, those lovely sights to see. You're sure of hospitality if you ever roam that way, in the town of Ballyfarnham, near the foot of Stanton's Ray.
Lovely, Josie. That's lovely. And it is very beautiful all around there too, isn't it?
It is. It's a lovely place, all right.
They say about O'Carroll that if you annoyed him, that he could get very angry.
Oh, yeah. And he used to write songs, you know, and the words wouldn't be too complimentary now about the people if he wasn't well treated. I often hear that.
So he didn't dare to cross them?
No, no. You'd be nice to him now when he'd come to you, I think.
Well, you yourself now, you were never a musical purist. Like, you play... You play what instruments?
I play the saxophone, and I used to play the trumpet. I played the trumpet for about... I must have played it for about 12 months on the band one time. And I started off singing on the band, you know. I used to be singing a lot, and I started off singing. And the fella, trumpeter, decided he was going away somewhere. He was going on holidays, and he gave me the trumpet, and I brought it home. And I had it for a fortnight, and I couldn't knock the second note out of it. And I had the dogs and the cows and everything drove mad, and they know they'll clear me out of the house. And I brought it back again, and I gave it up. And in about 6 months after, didn't he go away, the trumpeter, and he gave me the trumpet. And in the meantime, I used to have a go at it in the hall, but I wouldn't dare bring it home. And I could play every tune around it, but the phone wasn't great now. So I was playing it for about 12 months on the band then. And there was another fella, a trumpeter, that he came home from England or something, and he took over the trumpet, and I started back on the sax. And I was at the sax for a good while. A borrowed sax, of course. I never had a sax of my own for years. Because if you were talking about buying an instrument, come home and look for money to go buy an instrument, now you'd be in trouble.
Mm.
That time.
And when you say no, the band, what band was that?
It was Mickey Daly's band in Origna.
And what sort of stuff used to play?
We used to play, you know, the old music of the day, all the modern tunes, and it was all pitched at some waltzes. And there was always a siege of Innes thrown in with all the dance bands. While that I was playing, and we always had a seat of it, and the demand was there for it, you know. But that'd be the only thing, the Irish. I used to play Irish music on the sax. I could play it like Billy O.
So I've heard. And then you were in different Cayley bands then, I suppose.
I was in a bit of Sonny Finn's Cayley band in after the dance band sort of wound up. I was with Sonny Finn's band for a while.
Is that not Flynn's Men?
Okay? No, that was Flynn's Men started in 67. We were playing in a pub in Arigna called Flynn's, Nick Flynn's. And we were there a few nights, and he says, you know, I'd want to call you something. And I says, at that time, Sweeney's Men was hitting the high spot. You may remember Sweeney's Men in Dublin. I think they were based in Dublin. Johnny Moynihan, and I can't think who else was on it. But anyway, I says, call us Flynn's Men. That was including myself, and you know, and he said, that's how it started. That's how it came about. Though we had a John Flynn playing an accordion, a very good accordion player. He played us for about 18 months. John Flynn and Bernie Matimow was the drummer. Bernie is here with me today, in fact. He was the drummer. So we played for a while, and John's brother had an accident, so John had to pack up the band. So we had Liam Purcell in for a while, and he went in the Gards. Then we had a Marion Dryden for 4 years, playing the piano accordion. And then she got married and left, and we had David Sheridan then for some time, and Tony Milani playing the guitar. And that was the time we went and did the Cayley House. I think David Sheridan couldn't bear with us that. I don't think he was playing us at the time, so we had Liam Purcell back again. He was already our day in the Gaels. And
that was when you were in Dublin?
That was when we played for Cayley House in Dublin that time.
When was that?
It must be around 65 or 66 now. I'm not so sure about that now.
I think we have a recording here anyway. I think it must be that one. So.
Oh, Jesus, I know the one you have. It's the one that we did in 1966, I think, all right. Tony and Tom Flynn and myself and Bernie Joe and Liam. I remember that, all right.
Harriers, the Boy in the Gap, and Sporting Paddy, played by Flynn, which of course included Josie McDermott, who's with me, and also Bernard Matimow on the drums, who drove you here today, Josie.
That's right.
And in fact, while those were playing, Bernard remembered it was actually 75.
Yeah, I think it's 75, all right. I wasn't so sure about the date.
Tell me, do you travel much now around the place to sessions and that?
No, not that much now. I've come to Sligo here now and again to the Trades Club, and I've played as a guest artist there in the Silver Swan, a session thing that's going on there, the Tortoise organised. And about Keegee now, I'll be playing around Keegee, and I don't go too far, no.
Do you like the way the music itself is going?
Yeah, and I'm a bit ruffled about some of it now. It's too fast. But, you know, it's, I like a bit of a good lift in it, but it's somewhat outrageous fast altogether now. I've been involved in a few sessions lately and I wasn't able to get a stroke at it at all. It's much too fast for me. But, you know, there's an awful lot of people playing and they're playing good music. And I've saw them down through the years, like young ones, and, you know, they were going wild and playing their own thing. But they came back to the old music, the old style thing later on, you know. And I think the same will happen with the people now. There's an awful lot of them that you wouldn't recognise the tune. You'll hear that they're going to play, say, the Jukalinster and Reckitt Paddy. You know, I'm down here picking them tunes, you know. I probably didn't hear them at all ruffled up. But I've heard plenty of tunes like that. And when you hear them, you wouldn't recognise them. You know, they had their own thing done with them, and they didn't improve them, in my opinion. There was a great fiddle player, I don't know if you've ever met him or not, Phil McConnell. And I used to often laugh at what he said one time. He was way someplace and they were playing music, and it was as fast. He said, of course, you'd want to be a farmer to understand this now. There was a time when you'd be our archies all the time, of course, when you're getting the ploughing done, you know, and you plough two scrapes in the forest, if you're doing for spuds. And you see, you take up one scrape and throw it into the heart and for setting the spuds, and then you come along and take the second one when you're going moulding the spuds, you know?
What's moulding them, though?
That's putting up the second, putting on the clay to the stalk when the stalk grows up.
Yes.
And Phil said, you know, he said, the way they're playing the music now, he said, they're only taking the half. Well, they're just the same as the fellow that have two scrapes in the forest, and you're only taking up one of them.
So they're not getting enough
out of it. It's impossible to get it to the roles and to express the tune when you play it at high speed. I don't think you can do it.
Well, Josie, we've come, I suppose, nearly to the end of the programme, but thanks very much for coming up to Sligo.
Well, thanks for having me very much, Peter.
And you're going to finish off with a couple of jigs.
Yeah, I'll do two old jigs of John McInnes.
And he, of course, yourself, was another great flute player from this area.
Very good, from the Erigna area.
McDermott playing John McKenna's jigs and ending tonight's special edition of The Late Session, presented by Áine Hennessy and produced by Peter Brown.